Genesis 21. Now Sarah had been barren, had no children. But God had promised Abraham that of the fruit of thy loins, which is considered as him and Sarah being one, not Abraham and Hagar, some other woman, but of Abraham and his wife, who was one with Abraham, of thy own bowels, he would raise up the promised seed. Well, Sarah, time went on, Sarah got to be old, and she still had no child. And so she became impatient, like we always often do. We don't have patience to wait on God. We see things go along, and it's like Sarah. She's saying, hey, my time's run out. I can't be having children now. I'm too old. But where's this promised seed? So she said, well, I'm going to have to. What her thought was is, God has failed me. Here I am past the years of bearing. And God's promised me a seed. God promised us a child, but there's no child. So she said, well, I'll fix that myself. She decided. She said her policy. And she said, well, she said, I'll give my handmaiden, Hagar, to my husband, Abraham. And she can be a surrogate mother for my children. So she told Abraham, he said, now I'm going to give you Hagar, my wife, my handmaid, and you take her to wife. And maybe she'll give you a seed. So they did that. Abraham took Sarah, took Hagar, the Egyptian handmaiden, and he went into her, and she conceived and bare a son, and they called him Ishmael. Now, what happens to us, we forget the scripture that says, be still and know that I am God. Where our heart fills up with unbelief, and our head begins to hatch up all kinds of notions and policies and programs that we can do, and so we don't wait on God. We don't leave everything to God. We don't trust in God. We take things into our own hands, and as it was with Ishmael, we make a terrible mess of everything. So this Ishmael cost Sarah. When Hagar conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, then Sarah was despised in her eyes. She hated Sarah. And so there was a conflict there. And Sarah, no doubt, felt jealousy because she had been able to conceive. But their sin did not cancel or negate the grace of God. God had promised Abraham a son through Sarah out of his own bowels, the way the scripture put it, by her who was one with him in the reckoning of God. And that's the way it had to be. So at the time set, the Lord visited Sarah, and she conceived when she was over 90 years old. Abraham was 100, and she was 90, and she conceived and bare a son. And so let's begin our reading then here in chapter 21 of Genesis. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Our God is faithful. He does what he says he's going to do. Regardless of our sin, regardless of what we, God does what he's going to do. Not that we can't bring a good lot of grief on ourselves through our sin, as we'll see right here, but still God is faithful. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. He was mocking Isaac. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. So this was very grievous. It hurt Abraham at his heart to have to cast out Ishmael and Hagar, because Ishmael was his son. No doubt Abraham loved Ishmael, being his father. So it was very grievous to Abraham. It already called Sarah a lot of grief, and then she was filled with rage when she saw Ishmael mocking Isaac. Every one of us has an Ishmael in us, and every one of us that are believers have an Isaac in us. There are two of us. There's two natures within us. And the nature of our old man persecutes the nature of the new man. And when the new man lays hold on something by faith, the old man comes along and mocks. Says, why, what do you mean? You surely don't believe that. For instance, when the scripture tells us that we are, that the life, the spiritual life that is in us is the life that is in Jesus Christ, and we share that spiritual life with our Lord Jesus Christ, our old man says, well, how can that be? So unbelief, our Ishmael, that which is born in the flesh of us, is always at war with that which believes God in us, which is our faith. Look at 1 John. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures here. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. 1 John chapter 5, 11. Now, back in verse 7, it says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, and the Word and the Holy Ghost. And then it goes on down to verse 11. It says, and this is the record. In other words, this is the report that God has given to us. This is what God has set before us as the truth that we're to believe. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. The same spiritual life that is in the Lord Jesus Christ is in the believer. That's the reason Scripture says you must be born again. You've got to have a new life. That Ishmael life that you're born with, that life of unbelief and rebellion and hatred against God, won't do. It's got to be cast out. And you ain't able to cast it out. God has to come along and do that. And you're not able to give yourself spiritual life. God has to come along and birth you. I am the vine, ye are the branches. The same sap that flows through the vine flows through the branches. The same life, spiritual life, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ is in us, and it is in Him by resurrection. He was raised from the dead, and we are children of the resurrection. We're the children of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the resurrection. In other words, it is by Him, whenever we're called forth out of the grave, out of our spiritual grave, and out of the grave at the last day, when we're called forth, He'll be the power that does it, and it is Him. And He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the life that is within us after we're delivered from spiritual death and after that we're delivered from death at the last day, at the resurrection of the just. Christ lives in us by His Spirit. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness is by the law, then Christ is dead. So, we've got an Ishmael in us, and we've got an Isaac in us. And we all fight that warfare every day. Faith looks to God, but our old man looks to self. Now, if we only see ourselves as in ourselves, we'll live a defeated, ruined life. We'll have no peace. We are not in ourselves what we are in Christ unto God. Now, I'm going to repeat that. If I can. We are not in ourselves what we are in Christ unto God. In Christ Jesus, which we are if we believe. And that's the one of the few places that you can use if when it's connected with grace, that if is an all right word. Any other way, if you do this or if you do that. No, if is a bad word. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But if we believe, then what we are in the sight of God is what Noah was. The Lord said, thee only have I seen righteous in the earth. Well, was Noah righteous in himself? Well, he got drunk and exposed himself to his sons. No, he was a sinner just like the rest of us. But as God seen him in Christ Jesus, he's perfect. God said, I don't see any. And look at what the Lord said to about Israel to to Balaam and Balak. He said, "Why, I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob." Old rotten Jacob, supplanter Jacob, who lied to his own father and who stole the birthright from his brother Esau, who connived with his mother and connived against Laban after he'd worked for him for 21 years. The Lord said, "Well, I don't see anything wrong with Jacob." The Lord looked at him in grace. And that's the only way the Lord can look at any of us and find that perfection that He demands of us. And He does demand perfection. Yes. Matthew 5:45-5:48 says, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." God won't accept anything less than perfection. So, we have to cast out all our Ishmaels. Just reckon ourselves. Look at Romans chapter 6. Look at chapter 6, verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him," or that is Christ, "that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Well, the question is, are you dead? You're either dead to sin or you're dead in sin, one way or the other. If you're dead to sin, you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're dead to sin because you're dead to the law. And where no law is, there's no transgression. So you're not a transgressor. And if you're not a transgressor, you're not guilty. You're just not guilty. Let's read on. Look at verse 8. "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing this, that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him." There's a verse here that I want to get to where it says, "Reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin." Anyway, it's right there somewhere. And that's what we need to do. We need to know, we need to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Because we're dead with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're a believer, and if you go into the, if you sin, and you will, when you sin, God won't look at that. He said, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." He just won't have it that there's no sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're in Christ. Now, He will deal with us as children. He'll take the rod to us, and it can be very, very grievous. And make us wish we did. But that'll never take away our position as children of God. But it will line us out as children. So, what we have to do to have any peace is to quit listening to that voice of Ishmael in us that looks at self. Don't sit down and look at yourself and say, "Boy, what a miserable failure I am." And all of us have got plenty of room to say that. We're all miserable, rotten failures as far as living unto God. That's no excuse. That's just the way it is. What we ought to do is sit down and look at us as Christ sees us and as the Father sees us in Christ. And you're beautiful. You're just like my son. I delight in looking at you. Because he doesn't even see all our ugliness. He sees the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Back to Genesis 21. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman have I made a nation, because he is thy seed. Now, turn over then to Galatians chapter 4. And let's go back to verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he who was of the free woman was by promise. Now, Ishmael was born after the strength of Hagar's flesh. She was able to bear children. She was young and so on and was able to bear children. She was able to conceive. But Sarah was not in herself able to conceive, but God visited her and made her able to conceive, and she conceived and bare children because of the work of God in her according to His promise, so that Isaac was a child of promise or a child of the covenant. Now, everyone who believes is a child of the covenant because they're born according to the covenant of God. God foreknew all believers. He foreordained them to eternal life, and in time He calls them into being and then gives them faith. But the point here is that these experiences of Abraham, Hagar, and Sarah, though they were real in their lives and they were something that they experienced on both on the good side and on the bad side, there was a lot more going on there in them than they had any idea. They didn't know about this allegory of the two children being the two covenants. Ishmael being the covenant of the law, which gendereth, which brings forth children in bondage. That's all it can do. It can bring forth children in bondage. If you're under the law, if you're under what you got to do, either to be saved or to stay saved, you're under the law. It ain't up to you. It's not what we do. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done. He has saved His people from their sins. Now, we can't get that in our brain. Ishmael just raises up and just tries to wipe all that out. Say, well, if you do this and if you do that, why, then, yeah, God saves you. No, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Christ Jesus saved somebody. when he hung on that cross, he saved his people. Now, the thief was one of them that he saved. It was the last few minutes of his life. But God saved him. And everybody else that he saves are saved by the same blood, by the same person, in the same way. It is by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified by His blood. We're saved by His blood. We're not saved because we're sorry for our sins. We're sorry for our sins because we're saved. And we don't believe to get saved. We believe because we are saved.
Amen.
We love God because we are saved, not in order to be saved. We want to do good works, although we don't do a very good job of that. But we want to do good works because we're saved.
Yeah.
Because we love God. And you might think, well, I don't feel like I love God. Well, a lot of times we don't feel like. Some of the time, I don't feel like Gail loves me. Maybe she feels the same way. But I don't take my feelings out and analyze them every minute. And neither do we toward God. We are what we are. As we walk through this world, being the failures that we are, in our living unto God, a lot of times we live more in this world than we do in that world. Because our hands are in this world, we're busy in this world, we're occupied in this world, we have to live in this world, but we're not of the world. And living in this world doesn't make us of the world. Paul said if we would have done with this world completely, we'd have to go out of this world. And we will someday. We will. All right, let's go on. Now let's look at we're at Genesis or Galatians 22, Galatians 4:22. For it is written, Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which is the law and is of works and death, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. Everyone is under the law. The law gendereth or brings forth children in bondage. That's all it can do. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is. In other words, the law showed us our sinful nature. When God reveals the law to us and shows us that we cannot be saved by the law.
Amen.
We can't keep the law. We have to have something else. And is in bondage with her children. Now if you do this, preacher, you got to do, preacher. It's up to you, preacher. They're all gendering, bringing forth children to bondage. They are the murderers of the souls of men.
Yeah.
A preacher ought to get up and say, it's already done. You can't add to it, and you can't take away from it. If God's included you in His covenant before the foundation of the world, He's going to bring you to glory. You can wrestle against it all you want to. He's going to bring you to glory. He'll break you. He'll bring you to the place where you have a broken heart. He'll break your heart. He'll break your will. And He'll bring you to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll say, Lord Jesus, I'm a bum. I got nothing that's worthy of You looking at. There's no reason You ought to save me in myself. But if You will, You can make me whole. And everyone that He brings to that place, He makes them whole. Everyone that the Father giveth me, they're given in that manner. They come brokenhearted, broken-spirited, having nothing. Everyone that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It's the greatest blessing that we can ever have to find out our absolute nothingness. That we're a bunch of bums. And that we're saved by grace and only by grace. But none of us got any horns to toot for our goodness. Oh, we're nothing. All right. Verse 26, but Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. It's all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their total salvation. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, that's the church of Christ. Break forth and cry, for thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now that's a comparison between Sarah and Hagar. Thy children shall be taught of God, and great shall be the peace of thy children. The Lord teaches His people. He teaches them what bums they are in themselves. How ruined they are by nature, and what they must be by the grace of God. Princes in the sight of God. The Lord looks His church over. He said, wow. That church is a beautiful church. Because she is dressed in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's fit for heaven. To walk among angels unashamed. Walk before angels. Standing between angels and the throne of God. And the angels will stand back and admire. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We believe because God, according to His promise, gave us faith. He put the spirit of faith in us. And we believe, and therefore we speak. Yeah, I'm a believer. I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ of God. Can I be baptized? Well, here's water. What hinders me? Yep. But as then, he which was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now, and it's so in the heart of every one of us. Our Ishmael mocks, and our Isaac. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. He cast out every one of those persons who is of that do-do religion. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's do-do-do-do-do. It's works religion. And every preacher that preaches of what you've got to do to get God in a mood to save you or to keep you is a works preacher.
Yeah.
All of that work that you've got to do, that's works religion.
Yeah.
And it's unto death. And it looks good to Ishmael. Oh, he delights that. He wants to look at himself and brag and hold up his head and say, look how sanctimonious I am. He don't want to own that he's a ruined piece of work. Verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of free.